Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 4. The barn door is still standing partway open, like when I came out to look for Daddy. It seems like a long time ago, even though it was just last night. I go inside. It's easier to see now with the sunlight coming through the spaces between the wall boards. It's cooler in here than outside, where it's already starting to heat up for the day. August used to be my favorite month, till they started changing the start of the school year earlier and earlier. Now there's nothing in August but school. Not this year, I think. Maybe not ever again. I breathe in deep. The smell of the place is so familiar to me. Kurt and I used to come out here and play all those good guy, bad guy games. Army, cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians. Come to think of it, it's been a couple of years since he's been over here for anything. His daddy and mine never really got along, but we never let that bother us. Wonder what changed with him. Maybe it was high school. He got bigger and stronger and started that silly mustache. And I'm still like a skinny kid, no hair except on the top of my head. He started hanging out with the other jocks, and, well, I guess that explains that. It was fun out here when we were younger. Those two stalls over there were great hiding places for whichever one of us was the bad guy. I look up into the poles we used to hang tobacco on before Daddy hurt his hand and couldn't keep a patch going. Frankie and I would straddle the poles, and Daddy would hand up the sticks, heavy and green, sticky with sap from the mature plants. That pile of loose hay in the corner was a great place to rest when we were worn out from chasing each other all over the farm. We'd lay there and tell each other all kinds of lies and talk about how we couldn't wait till we were grown and could do whatever we wanted to, whenever we wanted to. Boy, were we wrong about that. All of a sudden, it's not such a great place to be, and I can't wait to get out of the barn and away from all the memories. I know there's some really bad ones coming up, and I need to find something else to think about. I leave the barn and start walking back to the house, and that's when I notice the old bicycle I used to ride everywhere. I haven't been on it in years, but I'm thinking that now it'd be a lot better to ride up to the store than walk. I go back into the house to get a rag and bucket to clean it up. One tire still holds air, I don't know how, but the other one is flat and I don't have a pump. The rest of it looks okay, a little small for me, but I'm thinking just in case it ends up being me and Hannah, or maybe just me, I'll have to have something. The closest house to ours is toward town, one of the Jenkins kids, I can't remember which one. I know they've got little ones, and I think I saw one on a bicycle a couple of weeks ago. The Thompson's place in the other direction is half again as far and mostly uphill, so that's out. There's old man Everett's place. between us and the Thompsons, but I can't see him having a pump. It's a lot closer than anywhere else, though, and I don't want to leave Hannah for too long. Don't want to leave her at all, as far as that goes. Old man Everett. Nobody's seen him for years, except the kid from the IGA that takes a box of groceries up there every 3 or 4 weeks. Last time I talked to him, Stanley, I think his name was, he said that he never saw the old guy either, just a quick look when he was back down off the porch of somebody picking up the box of food and carrying it inside. That's more than anybody else, though. His place is Halloween creepy. Big trees with roots up on top of the yard and branches that hang real low and rub against each other when the wind comes off the mountain just right. It's a little place, kind of square. One of the ends has a window into what I guess is the attic. One time I was up in the middle of the night and saw a light through the trees that I could have sworn came from that high window. When I was a kid, I was scared of that house. I always rode faster when I had to pass it on the way up to the Thompsons. That's when some of the other guys started making fun of me, just because I didn't want to hang around the Everett place. Mr. Thompson had a bonfire for all the families that lived close by about 4 years ago. Daddy wouldn't go, so that meant Mama couldn't go. And Hannah was just about 3, so me and Frankie went, and it was pretty good. Mr. Thompson had bought a bunch of hot dogs and marshmallows, and even though I was too young, I knew that some of the other kids had some shine back in the woods, and they kept sneaking away from the fire and coming back all smiles and barely walking. I thought then I couldn't wait till I was older. That was before Daddy's accident and before what happened to Frankie. Things haven't been good like that for a long while now. I heard they had another one of those bonfires last year, but I knew better than to even ask Daddy about going. Funny how this stuff works. Daddy got his hand all screwed up over at the Wilcox place, but they're related to the Thompsons, so in Daddy's mind it's all the same family and they're all to blame. It never has made any sense to me, but I know we used to be friends with the Thompsons, and then we weren't anymore. And I can't follow the creek up from the pool because it's on their land. But old man Everett just has that little piece of land kind of between us and the Thompsons, and there's the place I'm thinking about going. Chances are he won't have a pump, and I'll end up going somewhere else. But yeah, I got nothing else to do right now. I push the bike up the hill from our place and walk it back down the other side and start back up again. The Everett house is about halfway up this hill there on the right. I can see the mailbox, G. Everett, and those trees in the front yard. I push into the driveway and lean the bike against the tree nearest the road and go up to the door. The screen door isn't latched, so I open it and bang on the door. Mr. Everett? Mr. Everett, this is Boone from down the road a ways. You might know my mama, Natalie. No answer. No noise from inside. Mr. Everett, I hate to bother you, but I was wondering if you had an air pump, you know, like for a bicycle tire. Mr. Everett? Still nothing. I let the screen door go and it bangs against the wood. Oh, well, I thought it was worth a try. I'm across the porch and on the first step when I hear the door open. In the shed out back. Voice is thin and crackly, and when I turn around, the door is closing. The path around to the back of the house is barely there, choked with weeds and briars, but I push through without too much trouble and find the shed he's talking about. It's covered in vines, and the roof looks like it won't hold up from many more rains, but the door is clear, and I pull it open. In the bit of light the open door lets in, I can see a chain hanging from the ceiling. I reach out and give it a pull. When the lights come on, I just stare for a minute. The place is dusty, and I can tell it doesn't get used much anymore. There's a bench along one wall that must be 6 or 7 feet long.
The shelf above it is crammed full of tools, chisels and clamps and vise grips and screwdrivers and saws and squares and rulers and some stuff I don't recognize right off. I could spend some time in here, I think to myself. I could have some real fun in this place. I eventually remember what I'm there for and start looking for the pump. The place isn't messy like a lot of tool sheds where things are just thrown in any which way. The air pump is on the wall, hanging from a nail. I take it down and leave the light on when I go, figuring I'll just try the tire and bring it right back. The tire holds air, and I give the other one a few pumps just to firm it up, take the pump back, turn out the light, and close the door. I can feel him watching me from the house during this whole thing. When I go back to the door to thank him, it's open just a crack, and I can see him standing right behind it. I just wanted to say thanks for the pump, Mr. Everett. Welcome. His voice is thin and barely above a whisper, like he didn't have much breath to spare on words. He closes the door, and I take that as a sign I should leave. Riding the bike home wasn't easy since it had been so long, but definitely better than pushing. I made it back, no truck in the yard. Hannah's still in the living room. I start to go back outside. Mama called. I stop and go back into the living room. When? While you were gone. She hasn't taken her eyes off the TV. So what did she say? Is she okay? Hannah finally turns to me. She said that Aunt Claire and Uncle Sammy were going to pick me up from school on Monday and I should pack my blue backpack like for a vacation. She turns back to the cartoon she was watching. Well, there you go, I think. You're on your own with him now, Boone. Thanks, Mama. I'm halfway across the kitchen when Hannah says, she said to tell you she'll call you. Okay. I can't think of anything else to say. So she's getting Hannah out of here. That's a good thing. What's she going to say when she calls, if she calls? Hang in there, Boone. Hannah is standing in the kitchen doorway. And she said for me to bring Frankie's pictures and his drawings. She goes back into the living room and sits down. She's not coming back, I think. She's really going to do it this time. Last year, when we were all still trying to get our feet back under us after what happened to Frankie, she and Daddy really got into it. She was giving as good as she got with him that day, which hasn't happened since. And she finally ran into their room, slamming the door behind her, and came out a few minutes later with a suitcase in her hand. I'd never seen Daddy like he was when he saw that suitcase, and I've sure never seen him that way since that afternoon. He was begging her to stay, saying, I'm sorry, sorry, over and over, promising it would never happen again, that he would never say the kind of things that he had said to her. He would never blame her again. She made him beg for a good hour or two before she finally gave in. That night, she made the best fried chicken I can remember eating and a banana pudding with meringue about an inch thick on top. I reckon she told Daddy what to get, and he was off to the store like it was some kind of race, and he had to be sure he won it. They laughed and whispered to each other like a couple of teenagers and went for a walk after supper when it was just darkening outside and didn't come back till it was full night. I remember them walking across the field in the moonlight, bumping into each other, still laughing and talking low. That lasted about 3 days. Pretty soon it was back to normal. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.